two.
Peace.
Two. Everyone, welcome to episode 101 of Two Piece Starts Live. Season 3 begins here. He's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We hope you enjoy the show.
Yes, we do.
Well, how would you like to start the show, Tim?
Boy.
You're in charge, so I'm going to leave it up to you.
Oh, yeah? Great. Uh-huh.
Yeah, for the first... Well, it's different for season 3. Everything's changed.
We'll start with the musical misfit.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what it is, but go for it.
No, we're not starting with that.
See, don't give me this false impression that I have control.
Well, why don't we just jump right into comic talk?
All right, let's do it.
This week we had Powers of 10.
And how many Powers of 10 was it better than our previous comics?
Not much, but people seem to think so. I have to thank John Watts for this strip because he kind of gave the joke of, hey, you know that scene at the end of Men in Black where you zoom out and it's like the aliens holding the marble of the galaxy, you know? Like, you should have it be that, but he's holding like a DSI. And so I kind of stepped it up with like the Powers of 10 parody video, basically. But
I mean, we wanted to do something with the DSI being huge, and we did talk a little bit about some, like, you know, TV infomercial type of approach to it. And
yeah, like how Nintendo would advertise for the DSi XL.
Right.
You know, like, has this ever happened to you? Screen too small, you can't see your own text, you know,
right,
or whatever.
There's some potential there. It would make it for a funny video, but...
Yes, yeah.
That would have been tough for a comic, and it wasn't...
But we were thinking
great.
Of, like, oh, you could use it... You could use the DSi as, like, an extra futon, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or you could, you know, use the big DSi pen and use it like a sailboat or something. So we had some ideas there, but, it didn't quite pan out.
Yeah, so...
But I know one thing that you said to me, Tim, was when you looked at the comic, you're like... I mentioned to you, like, hey, did you notice how the stars didn't move in the background of the strip?
And I was like, yeah, that was kind of disappointing. Certain stars are just not moving at all. I'm like, I really would have thought he'd,
right,
have, you know, done something there.
Right, and I was, because at some point I decided to do the comic literally, as far as, like, what's accurate. Even though we're moving so far so quickly, the stars in the background don't even seem to move, because they're just so far away. And it's kind of a crazy concept to think about, but it's much like if you were, like, running down the street towards a mountain in the background, you know, like, the signposts and the cars are going to be whizzing right by you very quickly, but the mountain is really not going to be moving very much. And that's always been a really, I mean, that video's always kind of blown my mind as far as size proportions go. It's just an amazing video, especially for when it was made, too.
Yeah, that's a pretty old video, right? Made in the 70s or something?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
I know the DSi XL is not one of our Black Doom awards, correct?
No.
Would you like to talk a little bit about that, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Or a topic of the week? Okay, time for our topic of the week, which is the DSi XL was recently announced, which is a much larger version of the DS. Bigger screen, bigger pen. Tim, what are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it doesn't bother me that it exists. I don't, you know, it makes sense for certain segments of the population that are buying DSs, like old people. We, you know, it's really so that you can crowd around the DS and share it because it's got a better viewing angle and bigger screens. And that to me is just kind of weird. Maybe that's the Japanese thing. Like,
right,
people in the subway are all watching.
But you wouldn't
have
that thing in the subway is the deal. Like, it's really too big to be carrying around on the go.
Well, I mean, it's too big to put in your pocket, but I guess you could,
right,
certainly bring it.
I guess you could put in your man purse, right.
Yeah, your merch.
Yeah.
It's a little weird, I guess, in that you're kind of looking at a real niche group of people, I think. A niche,
yeah,
part, mm-hmm, of the population that you're making this product for.
Yeah.
And I feel like, what kind of time and effort are you putting into this when you could be, A, improving the pathetic DS wear and make the DSi actually worth owning, maybe?
Right. Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah, see, that's what it feels like to me. Like, they're kind of floundering a little bit. Like, we don't really know where we want to take the DS exactly.
Yeah, it's real splintered now.
I mean, it could be like the Game Boy Micro. We're just going to throw this out there real quick, see how much money we can make off of it and move on. Like, where some people would see this as a move of, this means the DS is going to be around to stay, I see it more as a sign that it's on its way out, personally.
Yeah, we've gotten, what, two revisions of this hardware in the last year?
Right.
That's what happens at the end of the life cycle, you know?
Yeah.
And the more I look at, like, trailers for Spirit Tracks, the more I'm like, can we get some real hardware here that can handle...
Not a fan?
Well, no, the game looks great, and I'm going to love it, but graphically, like... You know, you can't do cell shading and low polygon counts and all that properly on the DS platform.
What bugs me about making the screen bigger is you're just blowing up the pixels. Like, it's not getting any better resolution. It's just bigger pixels. Like, it already looks kind of pixelated, you know, like kind of yucky.
Yeah.
Like, making it bigger is not going to help me at all.
No.
Like, for pixel-specific artwork, it will look just fine. But for, like, 3D rendering stuff, it's just going to make it look cruddier, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, with the DSi XL, I thought, oh, maybe this was so that they could bring back Game Boy slot for people that were, you know, upset about losing that to the DSi. No. Okay, so what are they filling that space up with? Because the thing is...
backwards compatible with PlayStation 2 games, I think.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah,
that's
Sony's
a good
slot.
One. That's a good one.
Well, for every great comment comes great comments. This week's suggestion box was no different.
Yeah, a lot of good discussions.
Yeah, we had a lot. My comment of the week goes to Tacos, who said, in the actual Powers of 10 video, Tim should have his hand across his chest, palm facing up. This way, when the camera zooms back down, it can go into his atoms and find the Game Boy Micro. Oh, that was great. That was actually a way to make the comic better, I think.
And with vectors, it wouldn't have been too much trouble to, I guess, zoom in on the hand, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, my comment of the week is going to go to a trio of mathematicians here. Ultimate DK, Dominator 101, and AppKinesis. Looking at DSi to the XL as a formula more than anything, and I as an imaginary number, and it really brought me back to the good old days of college math. And
we're not going to recite any of it because we prefer not to have a college math segment on the show, but that's just me.
That could be a new segment for the show. Teach calculus and trigonometry.
With your boring monotone teacher, Tim Harding.
I'm going to start my own solo podcast. It's going to be called Math with Tim. How about that?
Math with a Daddy Gamer.
But it was fun to kind of try to remember all that stuff. I'm like, wow, I have a degree in math, and this is all very distant to me. But
we've had a lot of great comments lately, and we appreciate it from everyone.
Yeah.
So with that, it's time for Rick-a-Rick-a Remix. This segment I dish out a video game remix favorite of mine, who it's by, and where you can grab it. This week it's a remix of the game Reset Generation called Trix, and is done by Tepid. Let's check out a short sample of it. And if you'd like to add it to your music collection, I've got a link up right now back on the page you grabbed this episode of 2B Start Live from. Not to mention the link is right there for those of you listening to the M4A version of the show. And now it's time to catch up with a little bit of Rise from Your Grave.
Ah, yes.
Many 2B Start fans tend to lurk behind the shadows, hiding their faces by reading our comics but never leaving a single comment. So when one finds the courage to break free from the shackles of silence, we salute you. Let's see here.
Okay, our first grave riser is KF91. I guess this is a good comic to rise from my grave. I'm not a long-time lurker or a graver, but I'm confused with one thing. Who made that huge DSi, and who would use it? God, perhaps?
Yeah, it appears as though God used Scribblenauts to create all the objects in our universe, just FYI.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
Our next grave riser goes to Jambler, who said, hey guys, I've been reading 2B Start for well over a year now, and in honor of your 100th podcast and 143rd comic, I have finally decided to sign up to your website and rise from my grave. I never have to worry if the latest Tubi Start comic will be good this week like I do with several other quote-unquote mainstream webcomics. You continue to create an amazingly entertaining and amusing comic with your own creative art style and sense of humor which stands out from every other comic out on the web. Wow, those are strong words. In your latest comic, you reveal a shocking truth that our universe is contained within the massively large piece of plastic that is the DSILL. However, I soon began to realize a surprising fact that made me ponder for several hours, and at last drove me to sign up to your website. Our universe is as massive, ever-expanding, never-ending sea of galaxies, planets, stars, and suns separated by billions upon billions of light years. A universe so vast and large that we as humans living on Earth, one planet in a world of an infinite number of planetary systems, are but tiny dots in the eyes of this universe. Yet you, Tim and Ray, being only two small dots in this grand ocean, have managed to become an important part of so many people's days and lives, creating beautiful and entertaining pieces of art, and for that, I give you my highest praise and my best wishes. Continue to do the amazing things you do, and never forget how much we appreciate the love and time you spend at making us tiny dots smile each week. Very nice of you, Jambler. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Very nice. Two more. Okay, we got Dr. Disaster. Why does that name sound familiar? Oh, that's right. We were on his podcast. He says, although I'm not sure if you can rise from your grave for the podcast, I thought I'd rise from my comfy coffin filled with maggots and worms to congratulate you guys on 100 episodes. While a lot of podcasts have come to pod fade 15 episodes in, 2P Start Live managed to reach triple digits and still remain interesting and enjoyable to listen to. This is an amazing achievement for any podcast, and you guys should feel especially proud. I've been reading since Comic 74 and managed to listen to all the podcast episodes over the summer. They both keep on getting better and better, and I hope you guys keep making them both for years to come, or until one of you dies, whichever comes first. And congratulations on the Nubby Award. Doesn't it feel good to be award-winning?
Yes, it does.
It does. It feels different.
Our final grave riser goes to Kyle H. She said, well, guys, I think it's finally time for me to rise from my grave. Hey, guys, I just have to say I really enjoy both the comic and the podcast, and Podcast 100 was especially epic. I've been listening to the podcast for quite some time and reading the comic even longer. And while I've read through the entire archive of comics, I don't have the stamina of some of the more diehard fans to listen to every podcast. Those aren't diehard fans, my friend. Those are just freaks. If I recall correctly, Ray lives in Oregon, and if so, I just have to say, fellow Oregonians unite! And if he doesn't, I just made a fool of myself. Keep up the fantastic work, Tim and Ray, and now I can get to commenting without remembering I still have to rise from my grave.
Wow.
All right, well, is it that time?
Oh boy. Okay, sure.
It's time for the dreaded Black Doom Award. Each week, Tim and I both mention a terrible choice made related to video games in honor of the worst character Sonic Team has ever created, Black Doom. All right. Well, my Black Doom Award is going to go to Satoru Iwata, president of Nintendo.
I hate that guy.
Here's the quote from Iwata, who said, quote, Nintendo doesn't have any intention of directly competing with existing products, but the mass media has a tendency to portray everything as a rivalry between opposing companies. It seems some people have the impression that we want to compete with cell phones or the iPod, that cameras or music players in our devices is out of character for us. Here's the thing. You are competing with Apple when you do that kind of stuff, all right?
Yeah.
First of all, Apple's competing with you, okay? Like, you don't get to choose who you compete with. Competing just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if someone comes out with a product from left field, it's like, well, we're not trying to compete with Apple. Well, that's too bad, because they are. Like, they're trying
to... Yeah, because if everyone buys their product instead of yours, you out of luck.
Right. It's like this idea that you're not competing with Apple is kind of baloney. And it's the point that you're adding, like, DSiWare and camera, and you put, like, an SD card for music in your... Are you really adding anything to your games to the SD card player? No. What are you making it more like? I don't know. A portable music player. Oh, what's a portable music player? I don't know, an iPod? Think about it. Come on. Like, you're merging towards them, and they're merging towards you, and you are definitely competing. They need to watch out for that.
Well, the thing is, whenever you hear a quote like that, it's coming from somebody who's failing to, in some regard.
Yes.
In that competition.
Yeah,
I remember
you're right.
Hearing Microsoft and Sony say things like, well, we're not competing with Nintendo.
Right.
They said that
baloney.
Over and over again. It's like, really? Because when people spend money on Nintendo's gaming systems, that's money that they're not spending on yours. So you actually are competing with them. But they didn't want to say that. because because they're losing, right? So now Nintendo's in the same boat with Apple.
It's like the people who are running the race and they lose. And like, well, I was just trying to beat my own best time.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
I wasn't really really because
you're not getting the gold medal anytime soon unless you give it to yourself. Yeah, that's I don't know. They could see themselves in a lot of trouble 5 years from now.
Yeah, I think they will, honestly.
I just don't. They'd have to make some major changes with how they're delivering digital games and I don't know. It's a little interesting.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, My Black Team's also going to Nintendo.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, I saw this and this kind of irks me a little bit. Reggie made a comment recently saying that Nintendo has not committed to bringing the new Zelda Wii title in 2010.
What's wrong with that statement?
Well, here we go. First of all, we know we're going to have a Mario next year, right?
Yes.
That Metroid is also confirmed for 2010.
Yes.
And so, you know, everyone's like real excited for this, you know, all three major franchises to show up in the same year would just be...
Okay, first of all, this sounds like the Wii's launch, which didn't happen.
True. Yeah, we got, one
of
the three?
This is like the same thing. Ooh, new Mario, new Zelda, new Metroid. No, Metroid. But, Zelda. Metroid's gonna come way later. Mario's gonna be way later.
Yeah. And now we're gonna do the reverse. We're gonna get another Mario Galaxy, and then another Metroid, and then another Zelda.
Right. That's true.
Remember, Zelda came out at launch was 2006, and presumably the game was done way earlier, but they were waiting to do a GameCube and Wii launch at the same time. Remember? So, and what are we in 2009? They're saying it's probably not going to come in 2010. So you're looking at 2011 for the next console Zelda game. That's 5 years.
I don't know. You know what? I'm going to have to bite back a little bit on you, Tim. I don't agree.
Five years is not a lot of time.
This goes deeper to me. Okay, this is kind of on the same vein of like, I guarantee you there will be people very soon, and even right now, who are like, yeah, the Wii. Yeah, it wasn't a very good console, you know? It was just very family-oriented, and we didn't really get a lot out of it. But, like, when you really think about the games that we've gotten on the Wii compared to, like, many Nintendo consoles of past, let's just say, what do we get? Zelda, Mario, Smash Brothers, Metroid, Mario Kart.
Certainly the Wii Sports games.
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah. Then you have all the brand new stuff, like Wii Sports. And we got a new Super Mario Bros. Wii. And now we're talking about, like, another Metroid game, another Zelda game, another Mario game. People are like, it's not coming out soon enough. You know, like, this sucks. Like, we had Mario Sunshine last time, you know, and that was it. Like, I think people need to be a little more thankful for what we're getting with this console. You included, my friend.
I'm not complaining about the console itself. I I'm certainly, you know...
Yeah, but you're complaining about, like, how long it's going to be before another Zelda game comes out. Like,
yeah, I'm talking about Zelda games.
I would have a problem with that if that was all we got was Zelda games. But we're getting so many other games, too, that I don't mind waiting for another Zelda game if I have more stuff, epic things filling the spot on the way there.
Yeah, I think... I don't know. My guess is they're pushing it back for some sort of Wii HD type of console. And they're going to use it as a launch type of thing.
Now, does the Wii HD mean it's a really big screen, but the pixels are just blown up?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
HD is not going to stand for high definition. It's going to stand for something else, like...
Huge difference.
Huge something. So, yeah, okay, well, you don't have to agree with me, but...
I don't.
To me, it's just like... I guess the only thing that would redeem it, in my opinion, is... If they really finally kind of revolutionize the formula of Zelda games, which hasn't really changed since the 64 era.
What's the chances of that, honestly?
Well, they're going to have to do it eventually, right?
No, they really don't. I think they could keep releasing the same Zelda game for about 50 years and no one's going to complain. Well, I mean, we'll have complainers, but no one's going to care. They'll keep buying it anyways.
Yeah, well, I guess we shall see.
Are we really ending the show like that?
Well, Lily did just wake up.
Uh-huh.
We'll have to see how quiet she is, but...
All right. Well, sorry for the short show this week, you guys, but we'd like to wrap up the show with Musical Misfits. Some great video game songs have been lost in the shuffle over time, and we play one in full after the show's over for those who are interested. In order to finally break even with fans on our archive page, I'm going to start off Season 3 with a pick of my own. But I would like to thank Vincent Elia for sending me a link about game music which included the following song, which is Level 1's theme from the NES game Silver Surfer. So that will do it for this edition of 2P Start Live. Join us every Wednesday for a brand new comic and every Monday for a brand new podcast, just like the one you heard here, except better. With that, he's Tim.
And he is Ray.
We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Anything else that you'd like to add, Tim?
Did I talk to you about Pelham 123?
No. Well, you talked about the curse words.
Yeah, no, but... So I ended up... I watched the movie.
Okay.
Oh, it was an awful movie. It really was. And...
So were there truly, like, 100 curse words? 100 F words in that film?
Oh, yeah. One cool kid was on the webcam with his girlfriend, and the webcam was still on while they were taking hostages.
Right.
She was like... I effing love you. And he's like, I effing love you too. I'm like, aw, how romantic. Like, it was like literally every sentence had to have at least one F word in it, you know? I'm just like, this movie is just getting out
of
control.
You know, I saw G.I. Joe again recently.
Oh no, yeah?
You need to watch that film. It was worse than I remembered it.
Oh no.
Which made it even better to me. Like, it was amazing how bad so many things in that movie were. And it was such a blast to watch. There's one scene where like they're running through a mall or something, glass for a roof, and like the character's running through and he bumps into someone holding like a whole bunch of balloons, right? And it wasn't lifting a house, by the way.
Okay.
Bumps, and all the balloons are very colorful. They float up into the air, right? And so it's like, okay, I guess that's kind of cool looking. I don't know what the point of that was. There's like a scene about 5 minutes later where they're fighting on top of the roof. And, like, they break all the glass, and the balloons are still on their way up, and they go up through the roof. I'm like, wasn't that 5 minutes ago? Like, how'd that happen exactly?
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's so many bad. It also has the worst wedding proposal I think I've ever seen in my life. Like, that's
one... worse than the Mario level?
Well, I mean, it's so bad. It's so... He's like, will you marry me? And she's like, oh, my gosh. And then it's like, hey, is my buddy proposing to you right now?
Oh, my
like,
gosh.
He sure is, you know? And she doesn't even say yes. Like, there's no yes. And it's like a few minutes go by, I'm like, why are they still having a conversation? She hasn't even said a yes yet. Like, well, okay. I will, but only if you promise you'll take care of my little brother. Like, what?
Oh, jeez.
Okay, but what's the name of that site that gives you curse word knowledge about movies? I want to double check something real quick.
I think IMDb does it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. I'm going to... Because I was counting when I saw Paranormal Activity.
Oh, okay. This one doesn't have a count.
See, like, this right here. Like, Cody, you just saw that movie with me, right? Paranormal Activity?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me if this is true. A video of an exorcism is shown. The woman who is being exorcised has blood on her face, and at one point you see a bloody stump when her arm is torn away.
What?
Yeah, exactly! That video is so dark and grainy, like, I never...
Is Is that when it's talking about the picture? The
like, right, they look right. When he shows like yeah, the footage.
I couldn't tell.
I couldn't tell what the frick was happening.
I was like, oh, is that blood on her face? I can't tell.
And the F word is used a lot towards the last half of the film. It was used, I think, about 8 times.
Let's see. Profanity extreme.
For Paranormal Activity?
That's what it says. Okay, at least 36 F words, 11 no. S words.
No.
5 hells.
No. No, it is
OMGs.
No, there's no way there were 37 F words in that movie.
See, I'm sure there is, because that's what these people are paid to do.
There is not 37 F words. I was paying attention. 36. Big friggin' whoop-de-doo, dude. Like, I'm telling you, I was counting. I was counting the whole movie. There's at most 10. At most.
I don't believe you.
Why don't you believe me? What?
Because
why do I
you're
have
not
to
paid
gain?
To do this. This is, people are paid to do this.
I don't understand how they could do that. I don't understand
here,
how you can
here
mess
we go,
up
here
counting.
We go, here we go.
Counting.
Phrases such as, what the F is going on? What the F are you doing? I don't know what the F is going on. You little effer. I don't effing believe you. Get the F out. How the F do you know? Effing A. So effing tired. Effing freaking me out. F this S. Weird ass, bull ass, random ass, sweet? That's not a cuss word. Why is
what?
That?
Sweet?
Imitative
behavior.
Oh, yeah,
because at one point she was like, hey, you, be sweet. That's a swear word now, apparently.
No, this is not in the swear words section. It's just phrases that kids can
that you might
want to
watch
using.
Out for.
Yeah.
Kids, be
kids.
Careful.
But that's a lot of effing phrases
there's
there.
There's not a lot of room for error, in my opinion. So that's weird. I don't get it.